I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. If you're a ship's captain or a sailor, you probably came up with the answer to our geo-quiz already. We're looking for the name of an organization that oversees the seas.
It's called the International Hydrographic Organization.
That's journalist Simon Winchester with the answer to our quiz today. He's researching a new book, which he says will be a biography, not of a person, but of an ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. This week, Simon Winchester traveled to Monte Carlo, home of the International Hydrographic Organization. One of the IHO's biggest jobs, he says, is to coordinate and standardize nautical charts.
Every chart ever made is there, a gigantic database of all the information and lots of equipment from the early sort of piano wire depth gauges that Charles Darwin and the members of the Challenger expedition threw over the side of their sailing ships in the 1830s to these ultra-modern laser-guided piece of equipment that they use today. But the extraordinary thing is that they kept saying to me, we know the surface of the moon and the surface of Mars far better that we know the surface of our own planet. Every 5 meters on the surface of both the moon and Mars, we know what the elevation is. In the sea, we know it perhaps every kilometer if we're lucky. We can see through telescopes and from satellites all of the surface that's pointing towards us anyway of the moon and Mars, but 70% of the Earth's surface is covered by this annoying substance called water. And so if we reach down into it with our lasers and so forth, we're like sort of blind men trying to feel the furniture scattered around the floor of our room. The stuff we touch, we know where it is, but that doesn't mean we know what's 5 feet to the left or the 5 feet to the right of us.
So this International Hydrographic Organization, whose headquarters you visited in Monaco, is it a part of the remit of the organization to try and map the rest of the ocean floor? Or basically, are they saying, look, these are the boundary lines, and this is where, for instance, Korea and Japan, this is how they can resolve this particular conflict that they've had for quite some time now about a particular body of water? Tell us about
That's a fascinating story, at least fascinating to me. I mean, yes, the remit of the organization is to persuade member nations to map their seas. But also, there's a document called S23, called the Limits of Oceans and Seas. I have it in front of me now. That tells us where the Atlantic begins, where it ends. This document is dated 1953. We've been using those borders ever since. However, borders have changed, so they published a new edition in 2002. However, attempts to delineate all these seas has been terribly frustrated because Japan and Korea have not agreed on what the body of water to the west of Japan and the east of Korea should be called. The Japanese say it should be called the Sea of Japan, which is what it has been called for a long time. The Koreans say, nonsense, for in time immemorial, it used to be called the East Sea. And because of this dispute, the attempts to publish this completely new Limits of Oceans and Seas for the rest of the world has been frustrated. It's now 6 years. Everyone's been waiting, but the Japanese and the Koreans have said no, to the point where they've, as it were, surreptitiously sent delegates to the offices of the International Hydrographic Organization in Monaco. They've each been given an office, one from Japan and one from Korea. They've actually got proper jobs, but what they're really there for is to make sure that no one pulls a fast one and calls the sea the thing that the other one doesn't want it to be called. So there's a nice little political drama going on there.
That's amazing. But now let me ask you something. If the hydrographic organization rules one way or the other, let's say they rule that it should be called the East Sea instead of the Sea of Japan, does that then determine or have a bearing on the boundaries? Is ownership in question here or simply the name?
No, it's simply the name. It's what goes on the charts. But it would be as offensive, you know, if suddenly Canada were to be called Northern United States. You can imagine the reaction of the Canadians. This is exactly the same. The Koreans would go ballistic if this sea is finally named the Sea of Japan. The Japanese would go ballistic if it was called the East Sea.
That's an amazing story. So you're going to be going next to Morocco, where we're going to hear from you there. What are you going to be doing there, Simon?
I'm going to be seeing what's called the Purple Isles of Mogador.
Sounds like the name of a film. And given the background that I know a little bit of, maybe it will be someday. That's fascinating. Well, Simon Winchester, thank you very much. We're going to be following your trails as you investigate the biography of the Atlantic Ocean. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thanks a lot.